Open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read the passage that we're going to cover tonight, but then I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning of the book. It's not that far. And I want us just to, I want you to walk with me and see if you agree what this passage is about. If you just read this passage, you're like, oh, what's he talking about? And I've heard some things that I was told that, you know, in one sense, if you lift it out of context, you can teach anything from the Bible. But I want it to be within context. I want it to be within context. But tonight, let's just look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. Then I'm going to take us back to try to put this in the context of what God is teaching this young church. This church is about 5 years old, and they have more problems than you can imagine. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now I'm going to pause there, just make one comment on this, that I've used this, and I don't think it's wrong to use this. I've used this at funerals, because I still think it has that kind of, that what God has in store for us in the future. He has not told us much. But I want you to know, I'm going to read that verse again. He is talking about now. And there is going to be so much that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to them through His Scripture about now, but then there's great blessings in the future. I think the context of verse now is not when we die, but it can be applied there. I've used it at many funerals, but here it is, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 11, you know, you could read that all day long. When you understand the simplicity of what it means, you'll be like, oh, wow, you'll never forget it. Verse 12, I'll tell you later. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, read that as the flesh, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Title of the message, Christians must think and live spiritually. I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 1. I'm not going to preach it tonight, but it puts it all into context. Sometimes chapter breaks kind of like throw us into a tizzy, but it helps us understand what God was dealing with. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That's why I have the title that I do, so that we would think, that we would live spiritually. I believe this is another way, I'll give you the summary of it all, that when God uses Paul to the Romans saying that we should walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We should think in the Spirit and understand in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And so that's the whole point. Let's just look back. I want to give you a background so you can try to understand where I'm coming from with my conclusions of this. Just a little overview of chapter 1. It's addressing division. Look at chapter 1, verse 12. Look at verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You can see that their identity was not in Christ. Even those that said, I am of Christ, it was sort of a badge. It was just they were looking for one-upmanship. And they were thinking like the world. And so he addresses division. He discusses, God discusses the wisdom of the world. Look at verse 17, the wisdom of the world. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Drop down to verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Understand that in Greece, it was, you know, it was just wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but it was the world's wisdom, the world's understanding, the world's knowledge, and that's the wisdom of the world. Look down, if you will, to chapter 2, verse 4. In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. And so it discusses the wisdom of the world. It discusses the wisdom of God. Look at chapter 1, verse 21. It says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's Romans chapter 1. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. And so he's comparing the wisdom of the world with the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of the world is usually the opposite of God. And so he's teaching this young church, don't listen to the world, listen to God. We are blessed that we have the completed word of God. And so we can test everything, not only by the Spirit of God, but by the truth of God's word. So I would suggest we're more blessed than most generations, right? We've had the completed word of God for 1900 years. We've had the printing press for 600 years. And so we have Bibles all over the place. Have it on your phones. Have it anywhere. The Bible is abundantly available. And so it's the wisdom of God. Look down at verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. I just remind you of this. The plan of salvation is not the wisdom of man. All of man's religion never have anything that's even close to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, it's that God himself would come and he would be born of a virgin. He had to become one of us. He had to perfectly, God submitted himself to his own law. He had to obey his own precepts so that you and I could be viewed as perfect law keepers by his perfect obedience, by his perfection. He'd be so perfect that men would hate him so much they would crucify him. He would die. And then, of course, on the third day, he would rise from the dead. Man's wisdom would never come up with that. Man's wisdom is so weak and so pathetic, every false religion basically comes down to this. Just be good. Do the best you can. Hang in there. It's going to work out. Karma, right? I mean, that's the wisdom of the world. I'm telling you, they have no more creativity. I've summed up every false religion with those, just be good. That's man's wisdom. But God's wisdom is beyond us. Talks about it in verse 21. Look at verse 24. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The hidden wisdom is not the gospel. We've talked about this before. But it's there's mysteries of God. The fact that 2,000 years from this writing, the gospel's still going strong, and it's going strong with the Gentile world. I know Christians are not as faithful as we have been historically, but the gospel's just as powerful. The gospel's just as strong as ever. So, chapter 1, he's addressing division. He discusses the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God. I just want to show you just James, a very famous verse, passage that you're familiar with. But you'll see the way James talks about this is almost like it could just be an overlay with the church at Corinth. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation out of his life his works with meekness of wisdom. But, and so this beginning of verse 14 will describe the church at Corinth, it appears. But if you have bitter envying toward one another, and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. There were contentions in the church at Corinth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. It's as though this passage was written for the church at Corinth. It's exactly what they were dealing with. But oh, we must be careful. We must be careful, whether it's in a church, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in family, right? And we all just came through Thanksgiving. I hope it all went well, right? Mine went well, 90% of it. And, you know, there's always just these moments, right? These moments. I'm going to have a perfect Thanksgiving one time. were a perfect Christmas. It was, I'm not even going to tell you the story. My wife's cringing right now. She's back there. I'm not going to tell you the story. It all started with, no. but it was good. So had another morning. We, you know, it was good. It's all good. But it's just like, what in the world? And so I told my son, your wisdom descendeth not. No. But I want you to know this. God wants us to get along. We don't get along, something's wrong. It's not always the other person that it's wrong with. God would help us, have us to respond well. He says this. He says, but the wisdom that is from above. Oh, let's see what the wisdom that's from above is first pure. Everything about God. So this almost is an indicator. Remember I said, which is the greatest attribute of God, holiness or love? This might indicate that it's holiness. Wisdom from above is first pure. I don't know. Why do I have to find out what the greatest attribute of God is? Just my personality. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Wow. I mean, this is a little bit overwhelming for me. I'm 0 for 3 so far. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That means you're approachable. People can come up to you, ask you questions. Full of mercy. They know you're not going to beat them up. You're going to have mercy, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. You're not going to show favoritism, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's why when Jesus showed up, what did he always say? Peace. Be not afraid. Peace. Be not afraid. That's wisdom from above. Doesn't that feel the opposite of when we read 1 Corinthians? You can almost feel the tension as God addresses this church. So we go back, and so he discusses wisdom of the world and wisdom of God. Then he addresses humility. Look, if you will, to verse 28. He says this in verse 28. Well, just look at verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That's a blessing. We talked about that before. God humbles us. It could be good. Why does God do that? Why would God use the foolish things of this world and the base things of this world to bring us lower, that no flesh should glory in his presence? We talked about this morning. We need humility. I will tell you, I mean, I wish I could go into this more, but there's a young man that is so near and dear to my heart. He is like a son to me. And I think God's working, and I think we're going to see good things. Just, it's a simple thing. And he told me this morning, he goes, I knew I should have come forward today. And I said, I don't know if there's a right and wrong. I said, you deal with that with God. But he said, because I needed to humble myself. Such a great young man. He doesn't like attention. And so it will be, and I'll tell you the day that it happens. And I think it might happen this next Sunday. It will be breakthrough for me. Some of you men know I've been praying about this for a long time. And it will be a great day. And I think the sky's the limit with this young man. I told him this morning, you know, I want you to be a preacher. So I figured, well, if God hasn't gotten through, I will. And he said, well, you know, I'm going to be an architect. I said, well, you can be an architect that preaches. And, you know, but he told me this morning. He said, you know, I'd have always dreamed about is having an orphanage. And I said, well, I'll dream with you. We can take care of children. We can preach the gospel to them, and you don't have any idea how God might use you. But he's going to have to humble himself. It's all over baptism. And it's why I hate Roman Catholicism. One of the reasons. It has such a hold. And I almost lost him about 5 years ago over it. And I've just had to be patient. And but he's going to have to humble himself, and I think he's ready. I'm so excited. I just want you to know this. God wants us to humble ourselves. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So he's addressing them, this division, wisdom of the world. They're so full of wisdom of the world. All they can hear, they hear everything by the wisdom of the world. They don't know the wisdom of God. They're that young in the Lord. He addresses humility. Chapter 2, Paul then says, I came to Corinth with simplicity. Look at chapter 2, look at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, here's what I just wanted to do this. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was going to keep it super simple. They were making things so complex, they were making it as though it's God keeps it simple. God is not simple, but he keeps it simple because he knows what he's designed. And Paul came to them with simplicity. And then we're going to get into verse 9. And so I'm jumping with all that to say, just let me review. This is where we're coming from. He's addressing division, discussing wisdom of the world, wisdom of God, addresses humility, and then he comes to them in simplicity, and then he's going to tell them where all truth comes from. He says, the things of God don't come from man. That's what verse 9 is about. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Paul is helping them understand this. The things that you're about to hear and you're about to learn, you've never heard them before. Because man doesn't think that way. Man doesn't design things that way. God's the one that created all things, and his ways aren't our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. And he's just about to tell them, he's under this, don't think it's going to match what you've been taught all your life. One of the crazy parts of life that when you really understand what the Bible says, you've been lied to. I told you about that Bible study. Dakota's old girlfriend, she was sitting across from me. And one night I was just talking and I said, well, you know, Jesus Christ is the only way to be made right with God. She said, wait a minute. She goes, are you telling me that my youth pastor, I asked him that question, is Jesus the only way to heaven? And he said, no, he's not the only way to heaven. And she goes, he lied to me. She never did get saved. But her youth pastor lied to her. Said, Jesus isn't the only way. And so I want you to know this. No man would come up with that. You want a larger crowd? Then be more accommodating. Then I want to tell you this. God can deal with crowds. I'm not saying the smaller you are, the more spiritual you are. No. I think we should be bothered that Fairfield's not turned upside down. And I know I look so silly when I say that. But you see, I'm okay looking silly, but our God's that big. Our God's that powerful. Let's just trust him and obey, and his ways aren't our ways. So look at verse 9 if you understand this. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard. He's talking to this young church here, these young believers. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He's going, I'm about to tell you some things that you've never heard before. They don't come from man, but they come from the Spirit. Look with me, if you will, at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And so I want you to know this. You know, I don't mention it a ton from the pulpit, but away from the pulpit, it's probably a little bit of a hobby horse of mine, and that is, you know, I believe that everyone from Adam on have been indwelled with the Holy Spirit when they were saved. And I think I can absolutely prove that. And people misunderstand what it meant that, Grant, have you finally bought into what I believe? Well, we don't support you yet, and so what? You're still studying it. Now, does your dad, Travis? Are you telling me that you don't believe Adam was filled with the Holy Spirit? You need to hear me out. Okay, I will. How long do you have tonight? And so, I have a book for you too, right? So, So here's what here's my simple challenge. Just this isn't even part of my argument, but it can be tonight. But God hath revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. Well, then how in the world did things get revealed to Old Testament saints? Would you suggest it was by his Spirit? It was, Travis. So here's what we agree with. It's not heresy either. It's not. I'm sorry I gave Travis a mic tonight not knowing what he believed about the Holy Spirit. It's not fellowship separating, right? But it's a big deal to me, because when we say that they weren't, then what are we saying? That how were they revealed truth? The Holy Spirit is one of the great blessings of God, has always been one of the great blessings of God. It's why I'm still saved today. It's why I'm bothered with sin. It's why I understand truth. It's all by the Holy Spirit. And that's good news. And so Paul wants them to understand the things of God don't come from man, but they come from the Spirit, revealed by the Spirit. Look at verse 10 again. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so they come from his Spirit because the Spirit knows the things of God. Now look at verse 11. Now, I oversimplify, some people say. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? So I know, you're like, whoa, read it fast, it's worse. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? It's this. Stephen, tell me what I'm thinking. You have no idea. I don't either. But if anybody did know what I was thinking, it would be me. Right? That's what he's saying here. Just follow me. Just follow me in verse 11. What man knoweth the things of the man save the spirit of man which is in him? You can't tell me what's going on inside here, right? I love this, right? I love this anytime I do marital counseling or premarital counseling in particular. And it's like this. I look at every man and I'll say, she's crazy. And you're never going to figure her out. Try as you might. It ain't happening. Let me just tell you. And I'll look at her and I'll say, if you think you know what he's thinking, you have no clue. If you think you know what she's thinking, I'm sorry, you don't. But the best thing you can do is you know what you're thinking. Do you follow me? That's all it's saying in verse 11. So I'm going to, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Only you know what you're thinking. Only you know what's going on in this old head of yours, right? Now here's what he says. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. He's saying this. I can't tell you what's going on in your head. And the Spirit of God, he is able to, he knows the things of God. You know why? Because he is God. He's part of the Godhead, and you want truth revealed from the one that knows, right? You're not getting it secondhand. You're getting it from the very mind of God when the Holy Spirit teaches you. Do you understand that? That's all that verse 11 is saying. You follow me? We can talk about it more, but let's read verse 11 again. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? And he says he's likening that to the Holy Spirit. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is God, is part of the Godhead. He knows all things, and he reveals them unto us firsthand. You follow me? Front row scholars, do you know the difference between firsthand and secondhand? You're like, one, two. No, that ain't it. Would you like an incentive? Do you think you know with an incentive? I can tell angels, like, how much is it? Ron will give you $50. Ron, you'll give him $50. Ron said yes. Was that yes, not a yes? All right. I might contribute a little bit. $50 if you can describe for me the difference between firsthand and secondhand. It's from Ron, or he's a liar. First-hand account, it would be like something happened to me, and I'm telling you exactly what happened to me because I was there. This happened. Boom, boom, boom. I'm telling you, I was there. Second-hand would be Randall told me something that happened to him, and that's second-hand if I tell you what happened to Randall, because that's not first-hand because I wasn't there and I didn't experience it. See, but the Holy Spirit's there. He is God. It's directly from him. It's direct. It's not like, you know, what's the old game? It's called Duck or something. I don't know, what's it called, where you tell people around a circle? No, not duck, goose. Not, what is it? Telephone. Okay, it has nothing to do with the duck, but you do sit in a circle the same as duck, duck, goose. That's what threw me off, all right? So telephone, you know. So you know how you ever seen that where you tell a story, by the time it gets around to like 10 people, the story's not even close? That's the problem because, but here's the beautiful thing. When the Holy Spirit reveals truth, He was there, is God, knows everything, is not giving you secondhand information. He's giving it to you because He is God and was there. That's what's beautiful. You see, and He's teaching this young church, you need to seek the wisdom of God because God's the one that knows all things. And so the things of God come revealed by the Spirit because the Spirit knows the things of God and Christians are indwelled. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He later, you know, reiterates that, right? That they are filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Look at chapter 6, verse 19, famous verse. He reminds them of this. What? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? He understand this. We are indwelled by the Spirit of God. The things of God are revealed by the Spirit because He is God, He is part of the Godhead, and He indwells us. And then finally, He teaches us all things. We're taught by the Spirit. I don't think I put these verses. Did I put these verses? No, I did. John 14, 26. Just look at these, and we can talk about these. I'm using these because it's the same, but this is John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. I can explain that, Travis. You've gotten confused. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. The teacher. I want you guys, I've got to be super careful. It has nothing to do with anybody that you know. But there is this movement going on. Is my wife not in here now? That's convenient. That's so nice. So there's this movement going on that you kind of invite a group. And I've been told this. And they'll say they don't know what they're even coming to. And they hear some things about God. And here's how they lead this. And they said, we're not allowed to give our opinion. And I said, I don't care about your opinion, but are you allowed to give truth? What they meant is they were told, you're not allowed to speak. You're leading the group, but here's how you lead the group. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? And I'm not going to say, I don't care what you think. I'll ask people, what do you think this passage says? That's as close as I'll get. And then I'll be like, that ain't what it says. Right? I'm just going to be honest. Right? But it's this. The Holy Spirit will teach us. It doesn't matter what you think. I know that's a little rough. And just receiving that. What matters is what God thinks. What matters is what He says. And so I want to tell you this. When you teach. It was the number one thing. I was doing some teaching in South Africa, and they wanted me to go into more detail about Bible studies. And my number one thing, the teacher must teach. You do not let the students lead the class. I'm okay with participation. I love participation. But I will tell you this, I'm going to teach the class. And so I want our teachers to teach. I love participation. I'm okay if participation's wrong. And I know that makes it difficult, because what are you supposed to do when participation's wrong? I usually probably cross the line and go, no, I don't agree with that. You do it kindly. You just say, no, you know, I appreciate that thought, but that's not what the Bible says. You guys have been in Sunday school, and I've done that. I've tried to do it gently, and you guys would say, I would have done it better. Probably, I don't disagree with that. But here's the beautiful thing, teach. And here's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll teach you. It's one of the great indicators that you're a believer. Not that you have perfect understanding of the Bible. There are some difficult passages to read over and over again. I had to back up. Why do you think I took you and backed you up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2? Because I've just had so many different things told about this passage that I wanted to put it all in context. And I wanted to say, what's God trying to teach this young church? And I'm convinced what he's trying to teach them is, you guys are getting your wisdom from the wrong source, and it's from God through his Spirit. And so John 14:26, but then Luke 12 says, and when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Have confidence. This isn't advocating irresponsibility. It's not. But it's like this. You're going to be confronted with some things that you're not prepared for. You trust the Lord that he will give you the words to say. There's a beauty about serving the Lord. You'll watch God deliver, and it's amazing. How many of you experienced that? You say, wow, God is amazing. I've watched it. Raise your hand. Let me just see it. It's good stuff, isn't it? It's amazing. You get involved with the Lord, you'll watch him take over. I can tell you story after story after story, and I can't even tell people at the moment because it would be so terrible to say, I almost gave you nothing, but God delivered in the last minute. I don't know why he waits to the last minute, right? Because he does say this. He will teach you in the same hour. I would prefer the night before. Can we have a little bit of early read? He says, in the same hour. I've been there. I told you the story. I'm not going to repeat it, but I told you that story, that woman, right, that she was meeting with us, and she came, and she was dying of cancer, and then she met with us, and Deb was late. And so I'm standing in the parking lot, right, and she's crying, and I'm not going to hug a woman in the parking lot by myself, right? So she's just crying. I'm looking just, you know, like, hey, I'm just standing there going, oh, God, please let my wife get here soon and help me to love her. And Deb gets there, and she melts in her, right? So the lady, have I told you the story? Yes? Okay. She comes, and she's dying of cancer. Her daughter's dying of cancer, and her mother's dying of cancer. She's talking 45 minutes, and I literally did a countdown. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I have nothing right now. I've spent 45 minutes. I'm listening. I'm listening, trying to go, okay, Lord, is this what you want me to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Nothing. Literally, I could tell she's about to end. I'd already prayed. I was going to pray again. It had been 45 minutes. If God didn't give me anything. And I literally did this in my head. Have any of you guys done this? I go, Lord, we got 10 seconds. 9. In my head, I'm counting down 8. Have anybody ever done that? I have. That's not the only time. So, 8, 7, and I'm like, Lord, Reed, this is bad. This is not going to be good. You're going to look bad. You're going to look bad. This is not good. I'm trying to remember all the ploys of Moses, right? And, you know, just, and 6, 5, I told you what he did. He said, teacher of the Bible. You think I'd know that. 4, okay, what, Lord? And he gave me a passage. And when I was done, she said this. This is exactly what I needed. I wanted to tell her for the glory of God. I wanted to say, well, you know, 4 seconds before you ended, I had nothing but God gave me this passage. I probably should have told her. I don't know. I just, it didn't seem encouraging. But it sure encouraged me. See that he will deliver. You're nervous about a Bible study? God will deliver. Everybody that I talk to about having Bible studies, I say, hey, your first one's going to be horrible. I'm like, what? I just wanted to encourage you. And because it's going to be. The second one's going to be less horrible. The third one's going to be less horrible than the second. And then eventually you're going to learn to do it, but it has nothing to do with your performance. You want to do well, but you need the power of God. You need the Spirit of God. You need to walk in the Spirit, and you need to get truth from the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, what a blessing. He will teach us. So he's telling this. He said, things of God don't come from man, but they're revealed from the Spirit, revealed by the Spirit, because the Spirit is God, and we're indwelled by him, we're taught by the Spirit. And then look at verse 13. I want to show you verse 13. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. He's saying it'll be different versus what we hear from the world. He said, and you've got to compare spiritual with spiritual. You test what you hear. You test your experiences. You test your thoughts against spiritually revealed truths. You don't test it versus the world. You must understand, these are young believers, and their whole culture, right? Their whole culture is about wisdom, right? Socrates, Plato. Not P-L-A-Y-D-O-U-G-H. But did you know that? Did you know that? Plato, P-L-A-T-O. You're like, man, I didn't know Plato was that long, that old. It gets really hard after 2,000 years. But it'll be, thank you, Amy, for that. I appreciate that. But it'll be different versus what we hear from the world. You must understand that. Take your time with the Bible. Compare spiritual to spiritual. There's a lot of nuts out there, a lot of crazy guys out there. They'll say things. Test them versus the Scriptures. That's what Paul's saying here. That's what God's saying here. Now this verse then. The natural man doesn't receive the things of God. And so, no one knows how to respond to this. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so I was told forever that you cannot receive anything spiritual until you're born again. I totally disagree with that. Here's what I want to ask you. I ask everybody this, and nobody ever has an answer. That they, because they don't want to get, when does the natural man, okay, Travis, I'll ask you, since we'll put you on the spot here, so it's good, it's good, so it's good. I appreciate you being here. Travis, when does the natural man ever receive the things of God? Never. Never. Your natural man didn't get saved when you got saved. My natural man didn't get saved. But that verse was used for me that said, suddenly then, and that verse has nothing to do with anything. All Paul's saying is this, the natural man doesn't receive the things of God. If you're walking in the flesh and thinking in the flesh, then you're not going to be able to receive the things of God. Do you understand this? He's talking to believers here. He's talking to people that believe. He said, I want to talk to you as spiritual. He said that in chapter 3, verse 1. But I have to speak to you as unto carnal, because you guys are in the flesh and not in the spirit. And he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. You better be walking in the spirit so that you can receive spiritual things. That's the simple truth of it all. When does the natural man ever receive the things of God? Never. Ever. But boy, that verse was used. And man, I used it. I used it until I'm like, wait a minute. The natural man never receives the things of God. My flesh never wants to hear the Bible. My flesh always wants to do what's wrong. My flesh never wants to do what's right. My flesh never encourages me to do what's right. My flesh never encourages me to tell people about Jesus. The natural man never receives the things of God. But here's what he said. We must receive things spiritually. And that's where he's going to end here. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. So we can discern things. Judgment can just mean discerning, right? And people say, you're not supposed to judge. You know, people tell me that all the time. You're not supposed to judge. And I'll say, well, then never get behind the wheel of a car. Because you're making judgments, discernments all the time. And they go, oh, that's not what I mean. I go, well, then tell me, what do you mean? Because I can tell you what the Bible says. Judge righteous judgment. But the Bible also says that I ought not to judge according to appearance. So there is truth. What people, they just don't understand what they're saying. The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. If you're out there judging people, it's going to come back to you twice as hard. If you want to put everybody in their place, and we have to be super careful of that. You want to put everybody in their place, it's going to come right back to you just twice as hard. Judge not lest you be judged. It's dealing with hypocritical judgment. Right? Judge not according to appearance. Hypocritical judgment. And judgment that abases others and exalts you. Understand this? When we put others down, we're lifting ourselves up. What did John say? Less of me and more of him. See, we must abase ourselves and exalt Christ. And so he says this in verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. We discern all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He's talking to them as believers, that they, as believers, have the mind of Christ. They can now receive these things. That verse 9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Once we're saved, God will instruct us. Here's what we need to do. Here's now how we honor him. But the key is this. If you're walking in the flesh, don't expect to be able to receive spiritual teaching and spiritual things. I'll finish with verse 1, just as and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, or if you will, as unto people that are walking in the Spirit, but unto you as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Remember the title of the message, Christians must think and live spiritually. That's what I believe this passage is about. Just the simple truth. Where are you seeking guidance for life? Is it from God's Word? Is it from God? Is it from the Holy Spirit? Because God doesn't tell us every single thing in the Bible. You must seek His will and seek the peace of God. Compare spiritual with spiritual so that you can understand what God would have you to do. I love this. I mean, I didn't ask Don, but it's okay, Don. Thank you for letting me tell this. But Don was just about to take a job. And I love that he, literally, Don, when you were explaining it to me the other day, I thought, and I was studying this passage already, I thought you did a great job just seeking the Lord's face. I know you don't like me to, you're like, oh, well, you know, Don said, could you exalt me sometime? And I said, I will. But Don, you sought the Lord's face, and you didn't have peace, and so you didn't do it. And there was no Bible verse that said whether you should take that job or not, was there? So what you had to do is you had to have the wisdom of God. Because if you have the wisdom of men, you can make a decision that won't honor God the best. That's daunting, right? But that's life. Not a Bible verse that says you should go into foster care. And you guys sought the Lord's face, and it looks like he even closed doors, didn't it? And you never could get that peace that he closed those doors. And so there was confusion, maybe still confusion, because it's never easy, is it? But I love it because it makes you seek the face of God, and you want to understand the Spirit of God. And you, let me just tell you this, you know this. If you walk in the flesh, you can have zero confidence what God wants you to do. You understand that? That's why we must walk in the Spirit so that we can make these decisions that'll honor Him and not the wisdom of the world. We're inundated with the wisdom of the world. We need to be dominated by the wisdom of God. That's all this passage was about, is that we would seek the wisdom of God, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for just the joy we've had tonight and just decorating our auditorium and just the fellowship. I pray you'll bless the fellowship with the Snowed family. I pray that you'll just give us sweet times and bless each one. Father, the one that is the most discouraged, they came because that's what they're supposed to do. I pray you'll bless them and encourage them, and may they be lifted up by your Spirit tonight. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.